Well, we're going to continue this week by looking at the spiritual armor, as we've been doing the past few Sundays, and you know, just considering how the Lord wants to clothe us so that we can fight our spiritual battles and not be wounded, right? Because that's what the armor is really there for, to keep us from getting wounded. It's not to keep us out of the battle, but it's to keep us in the battle. You know, what will stop a soldier from going forward is a wound. As soon as they get that wound, it's like they're disabled, you know, and it just kind of takes their strength and vitality, and they can't go on. Of course, healing is available in Christ, right? He can heal wounds and so forth, but isn't it so much better not to get those wounds, you know? But that happens through his armor, right? Through being bound up and held together through his truth, his belt of truth, and covered. Our heart can be covered from getting wounded by the breastplate of righteousness, doing what's right in God's sight, and our feet kind of covered with the gospel of peace, holding up his shield of faith. You know, these are the things that keep us whole, keep us from getting wounded as we fight our battles. But of course, that's not the complete list. There's two more, and we want to look at those this morning. And those two are listed in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And Paul says, "And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. And so we also have the helmet of salvation. And, you know, I was just kind of considering this one. It of all the pieces of armor, I think here's the one I view as the most practical. And I'm saying that in the sense of what we have to deal with in spiritual battles. Because when we face a battle, what's the hardest part? It's our thoughts. It's what goes on in our mind, right? And sometimes those battles can just be confounding in our thoughts and what we're thinking. Because, of course, you have the enemy coming with his greatest weapon, which is doubt. And you know, you get these little thoughts. Did God really say, you know, are you sure you have a promise for this? Or, you know, how do you know God's going to deliver you? You might need to do something yourself to get out of this. Or maybe you've made too many mistakes. You should just give up. Those kind of things. That's a battle. And so how wonderful when we can have a covering that can protect us in our thoughts, that, or maybe we could say, can take the brunt of the blows that come, because the thoughts aren't going to stop, right? It's not like we put it on and all of a sudden they're silenced, right? It's not like you're putting on like noise canceling headphones and now you can't hear. You wish that it could be like that. But you know, when you put on a helmet, what it does, it takes the impact and it just glances off. You feel it. It's like, ooh. Hey, but hey, I had a helmet on. It's not going to stop me. I can go forward. And so in the same way, thoughts are going to come, but we must have God's protection over our mind, his covering. And, you know, even with Christ, we can understand that the battleground was in his mind. And especially in the garden, he had such pressure coming upon his mind that he sweat great drops of blood. Those blood vessels broke in his forehead because of that pressure that manifested itself in his body. And I just can't imagine, you know, how overwhelming that pressure must have felt for his blood vessels to break. That, you know, but they didn't stop him. They did not stop him. And so, you know, as Christ was prepared to go into battle in his mind, God wants to arm us with that same protection against the enemy's attack. And we know that from looking previously at other pieces of armor, you know, there's a principle or a quality of the kingdom of God that's also tied with this. And it's seen in Philippians 4 and verse 7. We read this about one of the previous pieces of armor, about our feet, but I'm going to read this again because it says, Philippians 4:7, "The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And so there's that link, guarding our hearts and our minds. And, you know, we looked last time at our feet. And so it's the idea that the peace of God can guard us from our head to our toes. Like, that's a full covering of peace. That's what we need. But that, but it is a guard over our mind. And, you know, that word for guard is a military term. It means to stand watch over, to garrison, to protect with a military guard. Like, God sends his guard and it's standing watch. And, you know, it's not just the idea of feeling peace, but it's those soldiers standing guard at the gate upon the walls to keep the enemy from entering in, keep the enemy from getting access. And you know, it's like that thought that when the guards are at the gate, they challenge anyone who tries to come in. You know, are you for us or against us? Are you on our side? Are you the enemy trying to sneak in? And so it's important with the idea of a helmet upon our mind that we're challenging. Like, that guard is there to challenge, to test. And, you know, and it's kind of, there's a part we play in it and there's a part God plays. The part we play is we are to be active in using that helmet. And in using it, we have to challenge and test and recognize, what is this thought valid? Is this thought something to let in, or is it something that to kick out? God gives us the power to kick it out, but we also have the power to let it in. So that's our part. And so it's important we challenge or we test thoughts, because, you know, most of the time, the thoughts that are flying around and try and land and get into us, they're not right. They're not of the Lord. At least the ones that are troubling to us and we have to inquire of the Lord. Lord, is this you? Most of the time it's not. And we just have to put that on. Other times God's trying to deal with us. He's trying to speak to us and we have to get the mind of the Lord. We'll look at that more in a moment. But you know, we need to take those before the Lord. I remember one time specifically, I was troubled with a thought and I was just troubling me. And one, the Lord said, but you didn't submit it to me. And I thought, oh yeah, Lord, is this true? And the Lord said, no, that's not true. And so, you know, that's the first step. Lord, is this true? That's a part of the eight gates, by the way, but we don't have time to get into the whole thing. Is it true? If it is, you can think on, well, you gotta go through all the filters, right? Is it true? Is it lovely? A good report? Praiseworthy? Think on these things. But we have to challenge them. That's a part of having on the helmet of salvation. But, you know, this kind of reminds me of the story of Hezekiah. I was just thinking about when the Assyrian army was surrounding Jerusalem, they laid siege to the city. What do you think the king did? He deployed his army at every single entry point. Well, first off, they barred it, you know, they barred the gates, but he put soldiers at the gates, on the wall, at every point, so that the enemy could not get in. And I think that gives us a picture of protection that the Lord wants us to have through his peace. He wants to deploy his guard of peace around the city, the stronghold of our mind. And, you know, there's a verse, Isaiah 26:3. We read this before too. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I wanted to link this thought, this of perfect peace. And we looked at that's kind of peace, peace, shalom, shalom. But link it with this thought of an army covering, surrounding, protecting us. An army at the gate, on the wall. You know, it doesn't remove the trouble, right? The Assyrians were still there. Israel was still surrounded, but they could not get in. They still shot the darts and they still said those things, oh, your God's not going to save you and so forth. But the Assyrians could not get in. That's the whole key to the helmet of salvation. And, you know, in that story of Hezekiah and the Assyrians, Hezekiah encouraged the people. He spoke to them. And I wanted to read this, 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. And the king is saying to the people, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that's with him, for there be more with us than with him." Verse 8, "For with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles." And look what it says, "And the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." You know, the enemy was there trying to inject doubt and worry and fear, but the king was there telling them to be strong and courageous. There's more with us than that are against us. And, you know, that's a type of the King of Kings there encouraging us that he is with us and that we can have that as a covering for our mind, like a helmet of salvation, and we can rest in his word. You know, and that's the type of peace that surpasses understanding. You know, and in this context, for Israel, how did it surpass understanding? Well, there was a mighty army out there that was a lot bigger than those who were inside numerically. But yet, we know there was another army that was much greater than the Assyrians that were with them. You know, but that peace surpassed the numbers of the Assyrians because God was with them. They could rest in a mighty God. And in the same way, when we set the guard, or we allow God to set the guard upon our minds, we can have a peace that surpasses our understanding of the natural. The natural situation might be totally overwhelming, totally greater than we can handle, but yet we can be at peace because he is a guard and there's more with us than are against us. And that could be the helmet of our salvation. Of course, the story goes on with the Assyrians. You know, Israel woke up one morning and they were gone because they'd heard a rumor of the Ethiopians coming up. So they fled, but not before the Lord slew 185,000 of them and that they were, you know, taken away. But the Lord wants to cover our minds in such a way. He wants to be a shield for us. No matter the situation, that his peace can cover us from our head to our feet. Now, one other aspect of the helmet we want to consider is concerning being aligned with the mind of Christ. Now, we're to be aligned with the army of God. We talked about that earlier, but we're to be aligned also with the mind of Christ. Yeah, the Apostle Paul brings this out, you know, so beautifully when he talks about the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You know, what's going to cause peace to reign in our lives is when we're flowing with the mind of Christ, with what is true, what he says is true, and, you know, what he would lead us, the way he would lead us in, when we're aligned with God's thinking. You know, in the early church, there's a little phrase they use that kind of speaks, it's related to this, and it really speaks volumes. You know, the church had a time when they were being troubled by those saying that, you know, you had to keep the law to be saved. And so they had to address this situation. And, you know, the disciples got together and they made a proclamation. And they made this statement in Acts 15 and verse 28. They said, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than what is necessary than to walk by faith." They go on and explain that. There's certain things not to do, but it's walking in Christ by faith. But what I want to bring out is what they said. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What they were saying is we have the mind of Christ. we know what the Holy Spirit is saying. And, you know, that's the order, right? What first good seemed good to the Spirit? You know, here's where we run into trouble, and here's what causes us trouble, is when the order is reversed. What seems good to me, oh yeah, and the Lord, you know. I can find a Bible verse that I can align. What seems good to me, and that's the trouble, right? You can determine a way, and you can usually find a verse to support the way you want to go. But what does that do? That opens the door to trouble, to being afflicted, for the enemy to have his way in our mind, in our thoughts. But our greatest covering is making sure that order is right. This seems good to the Holy Spirit directing me. So that means it's good to me too. That's the order we have to flow in. That's a covering for us, and that is what will keep us in peace. All right, we better move on to the last but not least, in our look at the armor. And in one sense, this is more than just a piece of armor. In fact, what's significant is it's the only offensive weapon. Everything else is for defense. This is for offense. And so back in Ephesians 6, verse 17, it says, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God. And in the Greek here, what's used is the word rhema, which means divine utterance. It's a word that God specifically quickens to us out of his written word. And it's a word that he is making alive to us today. He's directing us in the way. And of course, you know, when Jesus was dealing with the temptations of Satan, you know, tempting him to do certain things, you know, Jesus quoted this in Matthew 4 and verse 4. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word or every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, we're to live by the living word, by the word that God speaks to us. He quickens us. And it's that living word that enables us to fight. Now, really, of all the pieces of armor, this is linked to the idea of conquering. And, you know, like Paul says, being more than a conqueror. Right, that's what Paul said in Romans 8. We are called to be more than conquerors in all of these tribulations that he gives a list of tribulations and, you know, all these difficulties we can face. But in these, oh, we are more than conquerors. But that is because conquerors go on the attack. They go on the offense. They take the fight to the enemy and they overcome. Because like we heard with Hezekiah, we are on the winning side and that we can fight. I remember there's a story of a pastor who was praying for someone, praying for deliverance. And the pastor said to the evil spirit in this person, he said, do you remember the cross? And right away, this spirit spoke through this person and said, if we had won that victory, we would have won everything. And, you know, they know that the cross defeated them. They are acutely aware of that they are a defeated army. The only hope they have is that we don't know it, or that we forget about that in our trouble. Right? They know they're defeated. We have to know it too. We have to recognize it. We have to fight as if we're on the winning side and they are defeated. Right? They know they can't stand against the power of the blood. They can't stand against the anointed word of God because they've lost. And so as soldiers, we are protected by our armor, but we overcome through the sword of the word of God. You know, there's a picture of the warriors of Christ that we can see in the Song of Solomon. And I just wanted to look at some verses here. In Song of Solomon 3, verse 7, it says, behold, it is Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it. Oh, the valiant of Israel, they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear in the night. You know, what's interesting here, we see, you know, Solomon, and we can view him in this aspect as a type of Christ. And so here's Solomon, and he's surrounded by his valiant men, his warriors. And, you know, we see them protecting his couch or his bed. And we can kind of look at that. It's his dwelling place. It's where he dwells. Speaking of the presence of God, his holy sanctuary. And so there are his warriors who are, they all hold swords. They're the valiant in Israel. And they are fighting. They are there to protect. And so it's a picture of a group who are valiant warriors preserving the holy presence of God, his sanctuary, his dwelling place. And, you know, there's that thought. That's our calling as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called to take up the sword and fight and to preserve his holy dwelling place, the presence of God, so that many can come in to his dwelling place and meet with God there. And so those warriors, they all held swords, but what was the key? They didn't just own them, right? They didn't just possess it and keep it in the closet just in case one day they would need it. Nope. It says they were expert. Their swords were on their thigh, ready to use because of fear in the night, because of the enemy, because of the danger. And so that's a picture for us. It's almost like we're a part of the honor guard of the Lord. Those who are there to protect and defend his dwelling place, his house. But that requires being expert in war. And really, it's in knowing the word of God. Knowing and hearing and using his word to go forward. So that requires study. It requires prayer. It requires communion. It requires hearing the word of God. You know, warriors trained to fight. You know, being a soldier, someone once referred to it as a perishable skill. It's the idea that if you don't keep practicing, training, if you don't keep engaging in that, you can lose your edge. You can get dull. And as soldiers, we have to keep constant in the study of his word, in spending time in his presence and communing, in using the word of God in the situations we face, because it's the use of his sword that enables us to overcome. You know, and that's why Christ, he used the sword to fight his enemy in the wilderness. The enemy said, "If you're the Son of God," and he responded with, "It is written." He pulled out his sword and he started using the word, and Satan couldn't even respond. He just went on to the next trial. As soon as the sword came out, he's like, "Well, let's try something else." And so we don't just receive life from every word that proceeds, but we receive the power to fight and to win our battles. You know, in Revelation 19, in verse 15, we see a picture of Christ. He's coming to defeat his enemies. And one of the ways that happens, it says that out of his mouth will go a sharp sword that will smite, it'll destroy the nations. Out of his mouth is going to come a sword. You know, that's the power of the quicken, the rhema word on our lips when the tempter comes. When he comes to us to tempt us, to try us, and so forth. We need the power of the word to come out of our mouth, our lips, because the word of God flows in our minds, in our hearts, and then out through our lips, the enemy will not stand. And why is that? Because they've already lost. They are on the losing side. They're just hoping that we forget that important fact. But as we put on our armor and as we take out our sword, we will know we're on the winning side because the enemy will flee. And so as we close this series on the armor of God, let's remember that God never intended us to fight our battles on our own. He has equipped us with all that we need to win. We're called to stand. We're called to put on His armor, right? To be equipped with His truth, His righteousness, faith, peace, head to toe, and His word as a sword. You know, the battle is real, but so is our armor. It's not something that's ethereal, even though it's invisible. It is real, right? It's as real as anything we see here. And it's more real because it'll be our reality for eternity that we pass into. But even though we can't see it, we have to have it and use it. And so we must put on our armor because the enemy is there to try and stop us, to try and move us out of the way, to try and get it to make us forget that we're on the winning side. But as we put on the whole armor of God and stand against the enemy's oppression, like the people of God in Hezekiah's day, you know, may we too rest ourselves in the words of the King. And as we do, His peace will guard our minds, it will protect our lives, and His word and His sword will enable us to overcome. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You that You've given us all we need as the captain of our salvation and that You are our example. You showed us how to put on our armor, how to fight, how to overcome. And so, Lord, even today, Lord, we're just looking to You that You would make us, Lord, good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that You would even teach us in a new way, Lord, how to war a good warfare for You. Oh, just meet with us afresh, Holy Spirit. Lord, just come upon us afresh, we ask. Lord, even just cause Your peace to come upon our minds. Lord, to guard our minds as Your soldiers guarded the city. Oh, just come and guard our minds in a new way. Teach us, Lord, even to do our part in challenging the thoughts that would come into our heads, our minds, our thoughts, Lord, and that we would just be kept in perfect peace as we fix our eyes upon You. And Lord, teach us to be those who, Lord, would be valiant for the truth, who would use Your word, Lord, who would even learn to inquire of You, oh Lord, to hear that Rhema word, Lord, and that word would be a sword that could smite our enemies that would stand before us. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us. Thank You for Your armor. Oh, quicken us. Make us soldiers for Christ, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.